Well, how's it going? I forgot that I was supposed to be doing the crossword right now with my crossword crew.
Oh, no.
Which is fine. I just think they're not – they'll be fine, but they think they won't be able to do it because they're doing Friday afternoons from the age, which is like, you know, it's quite hard. Mm. And there's this website of people like called something like DA's Disciples or something. Mm. And it's like just a website dedicated to people discussing the Friday crossword. Has massive like amounts of, I don't know, just like traffic.
Wow.
It's a very, very popular website. And most of the things are just like, huh, 23 across really had me scratching my head and then laughing. It's like so dumb.
Yeah. I think that's really sweet.
Yeah, and there's like lots of rules about which thing you post where.
Yeah, sure.
Like you've got to be. Spoilers. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, pretty great. So I just told them to go and check out DA's Disciples if they were having a hard time, but I doubt they will.
Oh. What a cute little online community of crossword nerds.
Yeah. Well, I am in a little Zoom community of people that do the crossword every week. So, yeah, I guess so. Also, in my little crossword gang, or whatever, they do, we did an activity where we helped one of the people in Crossword Club make hinge, like, answers that were all cryptic crossword clues.
Oh, my God.
Because her complaint was that she wanted to set, like, quite a high bar.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a good way of cutting out the chaff, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like if you can't solve a cryptic crossword, you're automatically out.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like 99.9% of the population can't solve a cryptic crossword. So.
Yeah, and they cut. I know you've been here time and time again. Every man wants to stay on a mountain. Job been, Sam? You knackered?
The job is okay. Let me finish telling you about my weekend real quick.
Okay.
I was, I bought some clothes. I had tea with my friend Daria, which was very nice. And then a boy from an internet date came over to my house for a glass of wine.
Oh, was it the boy that you'd been accidentally hostile to?
No, that one's different. Gone forever. Yeah,
that one's cut. I think it's okay to be like, I was thinking about it afterwards when you said that you were actively hostile, and my reaction to you saying that you were quite hostile is like the biggest laugh I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I don't know why I found that so funny. Anyway, was that like obviously you can kind of tell pretty quickly if you're not vibing with someone, and it's okay to be like, this is not a vibe, I'm out.
Yeah.
Which is basically what you did.
Yeah. 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 I think it was pretty evident to everyone involved.
Yeah, because yeah. I've been on, like, not that many dates, but, like, I've only ever really been on one bad first date, and it was with a group of Marines.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them sang "You Don't Know You're Beautiful" to me and pointed at me every time he said "you." And then at the But I had the worst time, right? It was a horrible date. And then, and I left without saying goodbye. And then at the and then he texted me to be like, "Hey, I had a really great time." And I was like, "I must not give like I must not communicate properly. I've just been socialized to be polite to like such an extent that that guy didn't even know that we were actually on a terrible date."
Can you
was this a good date, the wine date?
Yeah, it was a good date. Yeah, he's really nice, and I think we're gonna go on more dates.
Oh, great. Yeah, what were you going to say?
I wanted you to explain why you were on a date with a group of Marines instead of just one person.
Okay, so like a few reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like Marines aren't allowed to hang out one-on-one. They have to go out in a group. And I matched with all of this cohort of Marines in Darwin on a dating app when it became apparent that they were sort of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, let's meet up at this bar, whatever. You've got to hang out in a group anyway. We were going to watch a sports match and I was going to explain AFL to them.
Mm.
And all of them were really tall and handsome except for one of them who was short with like big wing nut ears. And he was the one that like had called dibs or whatever, I guess. He was like the highest ranking of them as well. So that was like even like just really creepy that he would be like. And when he was singing You Don't Know You're Beautiful, one of the other guys, this like beautiful, like SoCal, like olive-skinned Adonis, like probably like 21 or something, like all of them were so young. What the hell was I doing? Anyway, was like making eyes at me like, we could just get out of here, you know, like we could just go. But I was like, I just am not that guy. I just couldn't so ruthlessly break the heart of this singing man. Oh, it's just so bad. And like Lucas, who's like just got big cuck energy, was like, oh man, you're gonna have a great like tag team orgy back at the barracks. And I was like, fucking hell, the number of orgies that only exist in the imagination of other men is just crazy. Anyway, just an absolute disaster.
It's so weird that they're only allowed to like socialize in groups. It seems like a recipe for disaster.
I know. No, seriously, Sam, what could be the downside of just like deliberately cock blocking a group of like very aggressive 21-year-old men in a foreign country? I don't see a downside.
Yeah, seems
Can
fine.
Can you imagine the women on that barracks?
Oh,
it's
God.
Like about 25 to 1 or something. That's a bad ratio.
It's a bad time.
Yeah, it's not a great time.
So the job is going good. I'm enjoying the work. There's just there's this one boomer dude that has been we've been taking direction from. Yeah, he was like the head of department is on location in Cooper Beatty, so we've been taking direction from this guy who's like a very like sweet, nice guy, whatever, but he's just, he's a painter by trade and he's just got something to say about every little thing that I do, like, oh or anybody God. Does.
He's just a real micromanager.
Super, super micromanager. And I don't know, like he'll yell at you for which paint tray you choose out of the paint trays that are all nearly identical. Not yell at you, but, you know, he'll be like, why'd you choose that tray? I'm like, well, I don't know, no reason. It was there. He's like, you should use this one instead. It's better. I'm like, oh, fuck off. Yeah, sure, fine.
I could kind of imagine, like, people at the garden coming up and being like, hey, can you show us where some black paint is? And how many times I'd be like, yeah, don't take that tray. Put that back. That's not a good roll. You can't have that one. Use these old rolls over here. Who are probably like, this fucking bitch won't even let us choose a fucking roller tray. What's her problem?
That's different. I don't know. This guy, like every single decision that you make, he's got something to say about it. It's just exhausting. And every time like you're working and every time he walks over, you're like, okay, what's he going to bitch at me about now? He also hates the industry. He hates his job. He's constantly like, it's the film industry.
I mean, well, in that one thing, he is actually correct.
Yeah,
you should respect the wisdom of your elders because TV sucks.
Complain anymore. We all know what it's like. You build something, you make something, you paint something, they change their mind, you have to paint it again, they change their mind again, you have to paint it again, you have to paint it four times and then it never gets seen. That's the job.
I don't ever mind doing that.
Yeah, like, it's fine.
Double handling has paid all of my bills for many years. I'm fine with that. I don't understand why people get upset about it.
And the thing the thing that bugs me about it is that he, when he sees something that he doesn't understand, he immediately assumes that the person is stupid and not that there's like a piece of information that he doesn't
that
have.
He doesn't have, yeah.
Yeah. And it drives me nuts. And it's about everything.
It's pretty annoying. The other thing is like when somebody complains about how the industry is really fucked, I often want to be like, you're totally right, but also have you ever had another job? Because they're all pretty bad. Like bosses are terrible, working is a nightmare. Like it might not be the industry.
Yeah, it's just working. Yeah.
Yeah, it might just be wage labor too.
It's not working, it's jobs. Jobs is the problem.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Also,
having said that, though, I would give my fucking eye teeth to go and just do a set up chairs job at a convention center this weekend. Yeah. I'm so bored.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying the work. I think it's going to be a good gig.
Have they extended your contract or are you still just doing 3 weeks?
4 weeks. But 4 weeks. It will be extended or not at the end of the 4 weeks. We'll find out later. But the way things are going, it will probably be extended. We've had to, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Sam, have you been watching any sports?
No, I haven't, but I want to tell you one more thing about this guy.
Hit me.
Is that
is there any chance he might listen to the pod?
No, there's not a single chance. Last week he asked me how my weekend was and I told him that I'd been volunteering with the Greens and he wanted to talk to me about politics a lot after that. And basically his position is that people are intrinsically bad and everything's hopeless. And I don't know. He was at one point he was saying that people are just like intrinsically greedy. And he's like, look at, when there's riots in places, it's not rich people out on the street going and stealing things. There's poor people. Poor people are just as greedy as rich people. And I was like, what are you talking about? You psycho.
Seriously, think about those stories in California where an entire town just like burns to the ground. Everyone in the town loses everything that they've got.
Mm.
And all of the towns around there, rush in to help for free. Mm. Or like there's this really good town, there's this really good story in This Changes Everything.
Mm.
Have you read This Changes Everything?
No.
It might be in the Green New Deal. Anyway, where she talks about this, it's Naomi Klein, and she talks about this town that's flooded out, and everyone from the town kind of like leaves and they set up at the Walmart car park of a neighboring town, like a supply station where even the Walmart gives all these people things for free. They set up this like really detailed, spreadsheet about who can go where to have a hot shower and who's cooking meals for like what number of people and like sign up here if you like need to go to the toilet or whatever. And it's like actually people's response is like mutual aid.
Yeah.
And the thing which actually eventually ends up undoing that is when capitalism steps in and house prices start to skyrocket or wages start to fall as there's a surplus of labor, and then people become resentful of the outsiders. But their initial response before capitalism gets its dirty hooks into you is like generosity.
Yeah.
It's normal for people to share.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone to like a Christmas dinner at someone's house and had at the end them be like, anyway, that's $45, everybody? No, because it's just normal to cook a meal and share. Duh, we just do it all the time.
Yeah. Rebecca Solnit has a book called A Paradise Built in Hell, which is about this exact phenomenon of people coming together in disaster situations.
Yeah, it's why whenever I'm like, Lucas, we probably need to buy a gun for when the water wars come. Mm. And he's like, you couldn't keep water from someone who was thirsty. There's no way you could do that. And that is true.
Yeah. I also just think it's crazy that he would use the example of like poor people getting things that they can't afford while they have the opportunity as like an also, example of
totally greed. Victimless crime.
Totally victimless crime. But I don't think that's called greedy. I think that's just called like, I don't know. It's just such a, it was such a weird thing for him to say. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, that's just called reparations, piece of shit. What are you talking about? Oh.
But yeah, apart from having to take
care. But actually, the other, like, Lucas and I were like, there was some question in like on like the radio that was like, if you could not worry about money, like if you could marry someone who was really rich and like not have to worry about money anymore, but like maybe you weren't in love with them, would you do it? And Lucas and I were both like, oh, we don't really worry about money now. So I don't know. I just married a poor like university student who never had a job before. I don't really. Whatever. I've still got some savings from when job seeker was a bit higher. We'll be fine.
Yeah, that'll be all right.
Yeah, we already want for nothing. We'll be fine. So it turns out we wouldn't go Grimes and marry Elon Musk for his money.
What is going on with that lady? Holy shit. It's so crazy.
She's so excellent. Did you watch the video that she did of what she eats in a day?
No.
Look, it really pisses me off when people do those what I eat in a day because they're like, I just really love salad and a thing of fresh tuna or whatever. And you always want to be like, don't act like you're like me. You're not like me. You're like a rich, like sociopath, like weirdo. Why are you pretending that you're a normal person? Someone else cooks your meals for you. Anyway, Grimes is so good because she obviously is an alien and she just comes right out with it. She says she wakes up at 7 o'clock and she feels really bad. She's not good in the mornings. So she eats these things called like coffee cubes, which are like a gelatinous coffee flavored caffeinated cube. She eats two of them and then she goes back to sleep and she slowly lets the caffeine work its way into her body so that then she can wake up at 9 o'clock and like already feel like energized. She told a story about how for 2 years she only ate spaghetti and Neapolitan sauce. And her hair started falling out. She went to the doctor and the doctor was like, you are severely malnourished. You cannot only eat spaghetti. You need to like eat some other foods. And the doctor was like, yeah, but what do you have for breakfast? Like, do you have oatmeal? And she was like, no, I only have spaghetti. It's just so crazy. It's really great. I highly recommend. Highly recommend Grimes, like, recounting the foods that she eats and it's all just, like, gelatinous cubes and, like, a pill and, like, an intravenous injection of oxygen or something, you know. Like, she's not breathing air anymore. She's, like, ascended to the new form.
Every new thing that I learn about so her good. Makes it make more sense that she's dating Elon Musk or married to Oh, are they married?
Yeah, yeah, and they've got a baby. Yeah,
they've got a baby that no one knows what its name is.
Oh, is that true?
Well, they've named it, but it's unpronounceable. It's got like weird symbols in it and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, that's so wild. Yeah, I apparently was at a party once that she was at in San Francisco or Seattle or somewhere, hanging out with some squatter punks from Boston.
Mm.
And I was like, it's so weird to me that like she could be like a squatter punk, but then also, you know, like, oh, it was like a skateboard party, I think. Anyway, she could be like a squatter punk, skater girl, music producer, whatever, and like really invested in queer politics. So it was like that kind of like, I don't know, like that kind of vibe, and then turn around and marry a billionaire. But actually, that's what happens if you just have this really, like, you know, like you're really invested in identity politics, but you have no critique of capital. Totally
aesthetic. Yeah.
Yeah. Big time. Yeah.
It was the aesthetic of the thing, but not the actual thing. And that, yeah, she, I just saw a video that she did, you know, that is he hot or is he blah, blah, blah meme format thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. Is it a snow clone?
No, I don't know what that means.
It's like a snow clone. You should look it up on Know Your Meme. A snow clone is where you like have a series of words that you repeat and you just change one word. Like all millennials know how to do is eat hot chip and lie or whatever.
Yeah.
You just it's like change the words. All Melbournians know how to do is get COVID and lie.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, I guess. The meme format is like, is he hot or is he? And then it's like a list of things that are like, I don't know, is he hot or does he have a job? You know? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Is this making sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
But she did one about Elon Musk. It was like, is he hot or is he changing the way that lithium batteries or something, you know, all this shit. It's like propaganda for Elon Musk. It was just so weird. Fucking weird. And she was wearing so like fairy wings and I don't know, like a little goth outfit. She's just a psycho. Yeah.
I mean, we used to say this thing, is he hot or is he just tall?
Yeah, that's where how it started, like, I think. Yeah.
No, because Reductress had like a quiz and it was called is he hot or is he just leaning against a wall. And the joke, I guess, is like, if you look like you're not trying. It's really good. Is Reductress over?
I don't know.
Is it shut down?
I don't know.
There's no place for this feminism that's just like why Disney princesses weren't good. It's time for someone to do a thing that's like, oh, we said that Disney princesses weren't whatever. We said that Disney princesses were superficial and not empowered. Well, I'm going to flip it on you. What if they actually are super empowered and they're choosing exactly what they want and that is to be married to a prince? Boom. Fuck you.
I'm sure that's already exists.
Yeah, well, good, because everyone whose interpretation of The Little Mermaid is she gave up her voice for legs has clearly not seen the movie, because that is not what happens.
It is what happens in part of it though, right?
No, the thing that he loves about her literally is her voice. And then Ursula takes it away and gives her the ticking time bomb thing. Like, she can have legs, but she can't talk now. But then he has to fall in love with her again. Like, he loves her despite the fact that she has no voice, not because she has no voice. He doesn't love her because she's silent. Oh, I'm so mad. Why would feminists ruin The Little Mermaid? Oh my god, I'm so borderline. You really go
from zero to a
I know about things that just do not matter. I know. I really need to go to therapy, but I'm in lockdown.
How's lockdown going?
It sucks. I'm so bored. I'm just really bored. The only outing that we've had is for me to drive like 3 hours into the wilderness so Hannah could go and get a Pfizer shot. Even though Lucas and I are just getting the AstraZeneca. You know how they're talking about how if you get vaccinated, they're going to send you some money? I feel like selflessly got the AstraZeneca, even though you could have caused blood clots, you should get extra.
Agreed.
That's my plan for the government scheme. Have you been vaccinated yet, Sam?
No, but I'm booked in.
Okay. Yeah. We are the official position of the podcast is that we're pro-vaccine, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. If you're going to get the AstraZeneca, you really should wait 12 weeks.
12 weeks for what?
Your first one and your second one. Okay. New South Wales and the Victorian government have both said 6 weeks is long enough, but I've read a lot of statistics that say the difference is between 50% and 80% effectiveness.
Well, I'm getting Pfizer.
Please, if you can, wait. Oh, are you? Fancy lady.
Know, right? Yeah. I've got to wait like a couple of months for my appointment, but the gap between the two jabs is like only a month. Is that normal? Is that right?
Yeah, 6 weeks for the Pfizer and then I guess 12 weeks for the AstraZeneca.
Okay.
But there is now some data that suggests waiting longer increases the antibodies. But, you know, we're all going to have to get boosters and our boosters are all going to have to be the other one.
The other one.
Like, I will have to get a booster of the Pfizer and you will have to get a booster of the AstraZeneca.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, if the research is borne out by reality.
I just can't believe how much everything, the whole world, my life has changed in the past. And I can't believe how long it's been since this started. You know? And it just keeps going on and on. I hate it.
Well, yeah. I read some statistical data that said almost all like sort of outbreaks or like pandemics, whether global or just local, take 4 years to completely bear out, irrespective of immunization.
Cool.
Which is that's crazy that throughout history, always, that's pretty much how long it takes.
Yeah, well, I guess.
I've been reading a lot of good books about plagues.
Yeah, cool. I guess it just, after 4 years, like the social side of it kind of plays out. Like in 4 years, like 4 years from the start of this, it will still be here. We'll just all have accepted it, right?
Maybe,
most people will be vaccinated.
Or I feel
hopefully.
Like the people who get it and are going to die from it are dead. And then the people who are going to get it and it's just going to be a cold, get a cold.
Yeah.
And then when you get old, you don't die from it because you know, you've had it your whole life. You've gotten it many times throughout your life.
Yeah.
The issue is like if too many people get it at one time, the hospitals are overrun, but also if there's lots of people in the community that all have it at the same time, you have a much higher risk of very deadly variants, which is the reason why an outbreak in India, which has 1 billion people, has caused the most contagious variant, Delta, which is killing lots of young people and old people.
Mm.
It was like if that could have been prevented, if we had have prevented an outbreak in India with better social distancing, we wouldn't be dealing with the Delta variant now.
Mm.
Anyway, 1,000 people a day are dying in Florida.
It's wild. It's so crazy.
So wild.
9/11 every day in the States.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, America is huge. But, like, China would just not accept that level of, even though they do have very high rates of transmission at the moment.
Do they?
There's nothing near that. Yeah, and also their the vaccine that they've created, it maybe seems to be the least effective.
Damn.
Or is the least effective against Delta specifically.
That's bad PR for communism.
No, because the Cuban vaccine, very effective.
There you go. That's good PR for communism. If only they could get
lots of places, like in Africa, not being able to afford the more effective capitalist vaccine is a pretty good argument for communism as well, since China's just donating a lot of them to African nations for free.
Yeah. Speaking of communism and Cuba, I've been listening to Blowback. This podcast should just be, our podcast should be a Blowback podcast recap podcast.
Yeah, Blowback Blowback podcast recap podcast. Great, perfect. I love it.
Because it's so fucking wild. It's blowing my mind.
I can't believe that you listen to the podcast TrueAnon. But you only just became convinced that the CIA killed JFK.
Yeah.
Something that, like, is a foundation, like, that's the foundation of the TrueAnon podcast. In fact, no. They don't just believe that the CIA killed JFK. They believe that George Bush Sr. pulled the trigger on the gun that killed JFK. That's crazy. Oh my God! That is possibly true, though.
It's possibly true, I guess. I just am so convinced.
What was he doing in Philadelphia on that day, Sam? There was no reason for him to be there.
I'm so convinced. He
skyrocketed up the administration of the CIA following the death of JFK. It's like hard not to think that maybe he was being rewarded for being the trigger man. I'm just saying.
Do you think it will ever come out? Like, because there's definitely no documents that are going to be declassified. Like, this can never be confirmed, right?
Okay, I think it's one of those things, like, where there's some kind of gray area between, like, knowledge of something or, like, a tacit endorsement of something mm-hmm. versus, like, the actual initiation of something. Sure. So, like, what I mean by that is, like, when people say September 11th was an inside job, I always think like, oh, definitely a lot of people in the American higher-ups in the military knew it was going to happen. Possibly like even like George Bush, the reason why he wasn't shocked is that he was, you know, he's like reading that book to those kids and he gets the word and he's like, oh, cool. And he just like keeps reading the book and it's like, oh, well, it's possible that he actually knew. Or, you know, or that they were all friends. They all kind of had this idea that something like that was going to happen or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between, like, actually planning it and just sort of, like, allowing it to happen for – or, like, having some parts of the intelligence community plan it and, like, you know, do it. But then that's not necessarily everyone within the
–
like one of the things that I'm constantly shocked by is how like the right hand often doesn't know what the left hand is doing
and
vice versa within organizations like the CIA.
Oh, for sure.
Like haven't you ever seen The Bourne Supremacy? That shit's fucked.
Whatever. But in the episode of Blowback, it's not like the assassin – the way they don't – come right out and say the CIA assassinated JFK, but they're like, here is all of the information, you know, and it doesn't seem like the kind of thing that it's like what you were saying, like people weren't shocked or there was like a tacit approval without like any actual planning. It seems like extremely planned, like there were people who had a plan and they put it into action.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where like, and I think that this is why the September the 11th, like analogy is good because there's lots of things that were like, oh, somebody came forward and said, why are these guys only learning how to fly the plane when it's in the air? How come they're not interested in learning how to take off and land? I'm going to call the FBI and then like reported it to the FBI and the FBI were like, thank you. And then, like, no one did it. You know, like, someone squirreled the information away or, like, it got to a certain point in the hierarchy and then, like, never went any higher, just disappeared. Someone said they were going to deal with it and then no one ever did. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
It's like somebody says, like, oh, I don't think we should go down this road without having, like, canopies overhead. And somebody brings it up and someone else is like, okay, let me deal with that. And then it never gets dealt with. It's like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm fully pilled on JFK conspiracy. The American intelligence agency killed its own president. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think many of the like decisions that have been made by presidents since then
has been informed by not wanting to
get in some way. Yeah, you don't want to piss off the CIA, seriously.
No, I agree.
Like, think about everything that Obama said he wanted to do from a military perspective. He wanted to get out of Afghanistan.
Yeah.
He wanted to close Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
Like, all these things that he wanted to do. He wanted to, like, reduce troop numbers in Iraq and do a, like, handover, transitional government, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
None of which actually came to pass.
Mm.
Probably because the military were like, I don't want you to get this, that bad cancer gun that we've got. You know, like, it would be such a shame if you were JFK'd. by the KKK or something. Just like Clinton, like, sort of subtly suggesting that he might be assassinated and then knowing that she's got deep connections in the CIA is like so fucked. Jesus Christ. That's terrifying.
Yeah. Anyway, great podcast, Blowback. Everybody should go and listen to it.
Yeah,
if you want to get fully pilled.
I mean, the CIA also definitely, definitely killed Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely. I mean, Bo Burnham just says it in his, like, Netflix special. He's like, oh, here's some let me tell you how the world works. It's built on blood and genocide, and everything you learned in school was fake. And also, the CIA definitely killed JFK and Martin Luther King. Moving on. And it's like, fucking hell, like... This is the thing that, like, always strikes me as the primary difference between Generation X and millennials, right?
Mm.
Is that Generation X are like WikiLeaks, got to get the information out there. And millennials are like, everyone fucking knows it doesn't change anything. The truth does not set you free. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Has anyone gone to prison for... like the Panama Papers, no, the only person who's been punished are the people who leaked it. They're the only ones who have suffered. No military were held accountable.
Yeah. It's like the Wormwood thing, the MK Ultra experiment, the guy, that scientist guy who, like, jumped or was thrown out of a window in New York and then later his family found out, like, it was always ruled a suicide, and then later his family found out that he'd been involved in, like,
LSD.
Yeah, he'd been without his knowledge, he was given LSD, and he was part of a special project that was testing LSD on people, blah blah blah, etc. That guy was definitely murdered also, which came out in documents, like the CIA or released documents that kind of proved that that's what happened. And then his family sought reparations, and instead of taking it to court, they were going to take it to court, and then they were invited to the White House to sit down with the president, and they were offered, like, a bunch of money, and they felt like they were really being heard and listened to, and they felt really good about it, and they accepted the money, and it all went away. And then later they found out that it was all part of a plan to stop them from taking it to court, because the CIA didn't want to have to reveal anything else about the project.
Yeah, like that they'd been doing all kinds of other torture.
Yeah, but also they are the only people who have ever gotten anything from the CIA in the way of, like, sorry that we destroyed your entire life, which they've done to so many people. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I remember hearing this story about, like, a guy who was taken in by the CIA following September 11th on a tip-off from, you know, like, from someone in New York. And he was taken into a building, and he was kind of, like, told, like, where are your family from? Like, what's going to happen to them? Like, we're going to destroy your life. We're going to fucking ruin you. Like, you better get ready for, like, whatever. And then they, like, left the room, and he jumped out the window. Like, he killed himself.
Jesus.
And then they were like, oh, no, it was the kebab shop across the road or something. Like, they just had totally the wrong guy. And they just like intimidated him into committing suicide. And then like no one was held accountable, like nothing, no. whatever. They were like, oh, well, technically we didn't kill him. He killed himself.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever, the whole thing is just like that, like, these people are cops. Like, that's the main thing that you need to know. Like, counterterrorism is still just cops. Basically what they do is, like, find vulnerable teenagers from migrant communities, like, groom them intensely online and convince them to commit terrorist acts. Like,
yeah, the FBI does that mainly, I think, with their counterterrorism stuff.
They're such assholes. Fuck that.
There's a really
stories about those people who were like, oh, she was the only girl that's ever spoken to me online.
Yes, I know. It's fucked.
Fuck that.
Yeah. There's a really great podcast called Chameleon. The second season is called High Rollers, and it's all about two FBI agents who. Because it was after September 11 pretty interesting, but it's about after September 11, the FBI was like given all these extra powers to kind of basically catfish people into committing crimes.
Spy on their own. You know, it's like whenever people are like, are you a cop? You have to tell me if you want. And I always want to be like, entrapment is not illegal. It is the very basis of the criminal justice system. How have people been convinced that this is a real thing?
Yeah, but second season, High Rollers, is about these two FBI agents who basically use their job as investigators as a way to like travel around Southeast Asia going like sleeping with prostitutes and doing heaps of drugs, which they like they excuse it by saying that they have to do it to like stay undercover, but actually they're just a couple of assholes who are taking advantage of the system.
I mean, respect, but also
but also in the process of doing that, they're not just doing that. If they were just doing that, that would be one thing. But also they're getting a bunch of innocent people to like bullying them into committing crimes and then putting them in jail for a really long time.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the outrage isn't that cops like sleep with prostitutes. It's that then after they have sex with them, they don't pay them and they charge them with a crime. And it's like, fuck you, actually. I don't give a shit about cops sleeping with sex workers. I'm sure cops sleep with sex workers all the time. Duh. Anyway, I hate it so much. Yeah, what were you going to say?
At first I was going to say maybe our podcast should pivot into just like a podcast that reviews other podcasts. But also, my God,
it's such a good idea because I was just about to recommend a podcast to you. Anyway.
But also I was going to say that you're right about the information coming out. Like even if there were some documents that eventually got declassified that proved that the CIA killed JFK, it wouldn't make any difference. It would be meaningless.
Yeah, I mean, even if when you say to people, like if you went up to my mum and you were like, no, mum, the plane was actually called the Lolita Express and the Clintons actually flew on it a lot and there are photos of Bill Clinton actually getting a massage from an underage girl on the island after having flown on a plane called the Lolita Express, where people have come forward and said that they were kidnapped to from Brazil, my mum would be like, oh, really? And then tomorrow she would be like, I've always liked that Bill Clinton. He was a great president. And you'd be like, I gave you all the evidence that he is also a rapist. And you just, do you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't, like, the ideology is strong there. It just can't really be, you know, like, everybody kind of has this suspicion that JFK was assassinated by the CIA. But when it's, like, inconvenient or doesn't fit in with their, because I remember always just knowing that the CIA had killed Martin Luther King. And, like, when you're in Memphis, you like, people basically give you a tour and be like, this is where the CIA stood when they shot Martin. Like, it's just, like, really open about it or whatever. But then when September 11 happened, I remember those same people being like, we need greater security. We need, like, ASIO to be able to have all these extra powers or whatever. And I was like, But you already know that those powers are used to, like, stop dissent and, like, hurt people of color and whatever else. But, like, for some reason, those two things, like, don't meet in people's heads. Like, that element of the critique and the narrative, like, don't meet up.
Yeah, it's weird.
And I think partly it's, like, it's this idea as well that, like, even though there's lots of bad people in government, there's also going to be, like, one good guy, you know? We've just got to get the information to that one good like, whatever. That's why I liked Shooter.
Yeah.
It's like, even though it has this sort of happy ending, at the end they're like, look, I'd like to hold him accountable, but I just can't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, it's a fantasy, so you kind of actually know that there's never going to be some, like, amazing shooter that, like, kills a congressman or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. That movie was so good. It was really perfect. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about, like, I've been thinking about, like, fantasy and romance novels and stuff, and, like, what is kind of effective fantasy, what people, like, enjoy disappearing into, and reading all these things that are like, oh, I don't know, he seems like it's a bit, this book is a bit rapey, or, like, it's a bit, or this is a bit problematic for me, or how come she's so submissive? Why are all these women, like, just wanting to be saved or whatever? And I just don't understand why people think fantasy is the same as, like, I really wish this would happen.
Sure.
Because
yeah.
Actually, I'm not, you know, like, imagine if the White House was actually like the West Wing. Those people are all insufferable. That would be terrible. And anyway, it's identical to what it is now. They're all just, like, lib idiots, like, complete morons, like, ineffectual, not doing anything, arguing against reparations, whatever, you know? Like, but it's just the fantasy is, like, imagine if smart people ran the world instead of dumb people. Imagine if moral people ran the world instead of assholes. It's like, yes. I guess that's what fantasy is. Is it's like, I don't actually want this to happen in my life. It's just like, isn't it nice to think about someone just being really devoted to you? But then actually that would be annoying. You'd probably want them to leave you alone. Anyway, whatever. It makes me really mad that we think people have to justify what their fantasies are instead of just being like, oh, you can imagine literally whatever you want.
Yeah.
And it can't, it's not really, I don't really.
It's not real.
I don't feel anything about it. I don't really feel like it can be that problematic.
How's your romance novel writing going?
Terribly.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going really badly. I hate it, actually. I read some of it and it's so bad. But whatever, it's fine. I mean, I've just got to keep persevering. My only thing that I like about it,
yeah,
which is, like, just such a side part of the actual book, is because you're a character and the character's now called Sam.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and so the only part of it I like is that the romance is between Sam, who's, like, a giant who can turn her hands into boulders, and this gardener who can, like, make plants grow.
Oh, so romantic.
Like, quite fast or whatever, or, like, just can kind of talk to plants, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He can't, like, use them to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them have these powers that are, like, sort of not that not that useful. So, like, they're just kind of, like, on the sidelines for a lot of the action that happens, and that's kind of where they hang out, just being in love on the sidelines. Okay. The only part I like about it is just Sam's friendship with this other kind of weird, angry girl who I realize is clearly an analog for me. Just, like, this weird, small, angry girl who's, like, always, like, raging everywhere or whatever, who, like, Sam's, like, really nice and protective of. It's my Save the Cat, okay? You know this thing, Save the Cat?
No.
Well, it's, like, that in the first act of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a famous book about writing a movie
called
Save the Cat.
Okay.
And what it says is that, like, in the very first act of the movie, like, even the first scene, Superman should save a cat.
Mm-hmm.
It happens in a Superman movie. That's why it's called Save the Cat.
Yeah.
He saves the cat. He gives it to this girl. He tells the girl that she's important and, like, gives her some life advice. And then he, like, flies off. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you see, Superman, he's a really nice guy. doesn't it? And it's supposed to endear you towards them.
Yeah.
So my save the cat moment is like Sam befriending this kind of angry girl that like doesn't really have any friends and is like sort of always raging and very self-destructive, and Sam's like all nice and patient with her and stuff. And they do a spit handshake, which is gross. And I would never actually do. Anyway, that's my favorite sideline story. And Lucas is like, gosh, you've devoted a lot of time to a friendship with this girl. Anyway, which is not even true. It's like 3 chapters out of like 50 chapters. It's not that much. It's like 3 chapters that is also just her doing it with the gardener. So, I mean, never.
Sounds great. I love it.
Yeah. Go on.
No, you go first.
Oh, well, one of the things about romance novels is you have to decide, like, what kind of romance novel you're going to be. So there are, like, lots of romance novels that are, like, his desire was burning between them. And then, and obviously that what they mean is, like, his erect penis was, like, digging into her abdomen and it was really uncomfortable or whatever. And so you've got to decide, like, which kind you're going to be. If you're going to be, like, his penis, like, she put her fingers around his hard erection, or if you're going to be, like, their passion was, like, she was overcome.
Like, literal or all euphemisms.
Yeah, if you're going to go, like, metaphoric. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, okay, all of the I've now finished the Psy Changeling series,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of moved from euphemistic to I want to, like, lick your moist, like, I don't know, would never say vagina, but it did say penis a couple of times, like 3 times. Anyway, but in all of the sex of these books, which is like 26 books, they have sex at least 3 or 4 times per book.
Mm-hmm.
Often, like, they do it numerous times in all of those lovemaking sessions.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty much all super vanilla missionary
mm-hmm.
style. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, they joke about how they might like to have sex in front of a mirror, or they might like to tie each other up, but they never actually do.
So there's, like, hundreds of sex scenes that are essentially the same every time.
Pretty much, yeah. There's one time when a girl gets flipped over and entered from behind.
Yeah.
Once. And that is, like, after 10 books, and it's, like, quite a risque moment.
Interesting.
And there's lots of joke, because they actually literally become animals.
Right.
There's lots of discussion of doing it the way that animals would do it. Uh-huh. Then they don't ever actually do that. There's no, like, get on your knees and, like, nothing like that.
Sure.
There's not even heaps of, like, I imagined there'd be lots of, like, he lifted her up and, like, pushed her against a wall, which, like, if you've ever had sex like that, it is not very comfortable. Like, it's not, I don't really see the appeal.
Yeah. But,
you know, some people are into that kind of thing. But that doesn't even happen either. Just all these super assassins and wolves just, like, going to bed and doing it, like, regular style. Pretty wild.
Yeah, so which direction are you going to go in?
No, I haven't decided yet. Also, I was thinking it was probably, like, a YA book, so there probably shouldn't even be any sex scenes in it, I don't think. Do they have just sex romance in YA books? I mean, look at Twilight. They do it, right?
I'm not sure. I haven't read those books, but I remember when I was, like, in high school reading Tomorrow When the War Began, and maybe not in the first book, but in one of the books there is, like, a teenage sex scene that's, like, pretty, you know, it's explicit. Not, like, it's explicit. It's, like, it's explicit, I guess, but it's not, like, it's not like a movie scene. It's, like, teenagers actually having sex. It was, like, pretty, like, oh, normal, it's kind of, you, like, know?
And then it was over and she looked disappointed, but she tried to hide it. Is that what you mean?
I don't mean that. I just mean it wasn't like romanticized or like it wasn't fantasied up. Like they're trying to do guerrilla warfare to take back their town.
Have you done this before? And he was like, oh yeah, totally. I've done this heaps of times.
Yeah, I think it was like that.
But she was like suspicious that maybe he had it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Also, well, you know, yeah, it's just like a side scene while they're trying to blow up a hospital or something. So, you know, not a hospital, some other thing. Did you read those books?
Say, if the Chinese did invade Australia and take over, I would just be like, oh, well, now I'm ruled by another faceless oligarch. Who fucking cares?
Yeah, it's really weird.
I'm not going to blow up a fucking hospital. That's crazy.
Well, I think they were upset because they had put all of their friends and family into like a detention camp, so they were trying to like
it's pretty bad,
highly just really crazy. Do you think it was supposed to be China in that book? I always thought it was maybe Indonesia.
Oh yeah, probably. I don't know, I never read it.
Oh
yeah, no, I never read it. But I do think that it would be weird to be like not having, I think I that we had to read quite a few novels when I was in high school. Like we had to read one every year for 5 years where they were about either entering a wolf pack or like gaining the ability to become wolves or having been raised by wolves or going walkabout with dogs. Like just a lot of kind of like dog pack books one a year. That's like a lot.
Yeah.
And I think in one of them there was a romance.
Mm.
But then also, like, in high school I read Middlesex, which is about, like, siblings doing it and, like, the genetic abnormalities from, like, the family, whatever.
I've never heard of it.
And then, like, I read The Book of Daniel or whatever, which is, it's by Jeffrey Eugenics, the guy that wrote The Virgin Suicides.
Okay.
And then, you know, I read, like, The Book of Daniel, which has, like, all these S&M scenes where he's, like, having sex with his girlfriend in the back of a car and like burns her with the cigarette lighter or whatever, and I was like, this is what I'm gonna do my literature presentation on. So I don't know, it's not like teens aren't whatever, like it seems like they just should be. If it's a like it is an erotica like romance, I'm gonna find out what they do in Twilight about it.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you think the like one of the things I was thinking about that was weird is that Sam, she's like 17, and the gardener, he's like 21. Can they do it? Is that illegal? What is the law around that?
I don't know. I think it probably varies from place to place, but I'm not sure. Yeah.
What about just like ethically, you know, like in the Twitterverse, would they be like, oh my God, Jerry Seinfeld's dating a 19-year-old? You know, it's like not illegal, but it's like not really cool.
I don't know.
Is there any of that?
I'm not sure, but I think you could easily solve this by making the character 18 and then it would be fine.
But just because of that? Because think about Twilight, okay? She's a teenager and her boyfriend is like 400 years old. So that's like way more of an age vampire gap than Jerry Seinfeld.
Doesn't make sense. The idea that any vampire would be interested romantically in any human person is just ridiculous. On its face.
Somebody on Field asked me if I was ever shocked about anything in a movie, even if though I'd seen the movie before. And I said, I'm always shocked that Interview with a Vampire has an actual interview with a vampire in it. And that was totally not what he meant. He was like, that's the dumb. He was really acting like he thought that was the dumbest thing he'd ever. But don't you, mate, like, I forget that it's like actually based on like Tom Cruise being interviewed by someone and he's a vampire.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I don't remember.
I just thought it was like it could just be a clever title.
Yeah, totally. I wonder if I've read that book. I've definitely read, I think I read Queen of the Damned.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and the book is called The Vampire Lestat, maybe? Is that true?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I thought they were different books, but possibly true. Yeah, it could be.
Anyway,
I mean, whenever people ask what they should,
books, check it
whenever people ask me what they should read, I always ask them if they've read Frankenstein, and then if they haven't, I tell them to get amongst it because that book fucking rules.
I've never read it.
Oh, do yourself a favor. It's really good.
Do you know the story about how it was written?
No, but did you hear the bit about the addendum where Mary Shelley wrote like an extra page that was like, and as the monster disappeared out of sight on his ice float, he shouted out, "You guys can totally just call me Frankenstein. I don't even mind."
Yeah.
Appendix one.
Yeah, I remember that part. Yeah.
Yeah, how was it written?
Mary Shelley and I want to say Lord Byron. Mm-hmm. That's a writer guy, yeah. And this guy who was named William Polidori and some other guy maybe were all staying in a they were all on holiday together somewhere in Europe, and they all, like, as one of their old-timey holiday activities that people used to do in the olden days, they all decided to, like, write a ghost stories for each other.
Whoa.
And Mary Shelley... Modern
Prometheus.
Yeah. She came up with the idea for Frankenstein, and then William Polidori wrote a book called Vampire, spelled with a Y instead of at the end instead of a I. And it's really good as well. And it was based on the character of the vampire in his book was based on the personality of Lord Byron, who he hated.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
I mean, Lord Byron always does seem like kind of a bit of a stuck-up jerk to me.
Quick chicken update. We have a new chicken that was found wandering along the side of Port Road in Adelaide, which is, P.S. for non-Adelaide listeners, is like a 8-lane massive road
Near
the city.
Yeah, it's fucked. Yeah, it's really fucked road.
Someone picked it up and now it's... recuperating at our place. It doesn't have a name yet, but I was thinking about calling it Number One, which is the name of a famous hobo from turn of the century America.
Oh, bless that little chicken. That's adorable.
Yeah.
We've started naming all of our chickens after different kinds of peas.
Ooh, that's cute.
So they're called, because we named some of our, we named a whole bunch of chickens after the lovers of Zeus. And then they all turned out to be roosts and we had to kill them all. So it's like, oh, that's right. All of Zeus's lovers met terrible ends.
So we had bad to luck stop, names.
Just stop that. Well, we got them at Easter and I wanted to name them after the plagues. Because that's like, you know, it's like it was Passover.
One of them were called River of Blood.
Yeah, water is blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them would be called Darkness. One of them would be called Pustulant Sores. Oh, whatever. One of them would be called Death of the Firstborn. What a fucking metal-ass name. That's
really
rules.
Good. I'm really anyway, sad.
One of them happen. Would have been called Wild Beasts. So good. They're the best names ever. I'm so disappointed that I couldn't convince Hannah that the plagues were a good name. I guess maybe I think one of them would have had to be called The Death of Livestock. Whatever. A lot of them, I guess, would just be called Death. Locusts? That's a great name.
That
the fact that it's
name.
A plural?
Yeah, that's what really sets it off. It's good.
Yeah. Anyway, but no one was into it. So now we've just named them after peas.
That's cute.
But I think we might have to move to beans pretty soon. But it means that one of them's called Parrot. I just think it's quite funny to name birds after other birds that they aren't, like the budgie that's called Goose. It's really good.
Oh, gooey.
Anyway, so that's a flock down update. Update on the flock.
Okay. We can do this regularly, maybe more regular segments.
Okay, flock down update.
Yeah.
Update you on all of the birds that are around.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I love you.
Enjoy lunch. I love you too. I'll talk to you soon. Pod again on next weekend.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now that you're working full time, we've just got to make a regular Sunday pod.
Yeah, I think that's
guys,
a
we've
good
got
idea.
A release schedule. Something people have been asking for forever. I'm gonna record on Sunday and I'm gonna release whatever day I finish editing.